Time now for the Roto Report, and we'll take a look back at what happened this weekend. A lot going on with the Cavaliers, with the Buckeyes and the Browns. The Cavaliers, even though they lost their home opener to the New York Knicks, and it was a disappointing end to a great day. I said on the radio the other day at WHBC, check it out, 1480 AM or WHBC.com, or go to the TuneIn radio app, and you can listen to me every day, Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. And I said the other day that, you know what, if I had to take a pick between winning on opening night against the Knicks or getting a road win the next night at Chicago, give me the win over Chicago 10 times out of 10. It was a far more important game, and the Cavaliers came away with the win on the road, 114 to 108 in overtime. LeBron James still not looking like he's 100% with that ailing back, but he rebounded from a horrible opening night game at home against the Knicks to put up 36 points to lead the Cavaliers. Kyrie Irving with 23 points. Kevin Love battling Joakim Noah all night long, a double-double, 16 points, 16 rebounds. And Tristan Thompson was huge off the bench with 16 points and 13 rebounds. So a big win for the Cavaliers. Not only does it get them their first win, and it's a bounce-back win after the tough loss at home against New York, but Chicago is the team that the Cavaliers will be battling with all season long in the Eastern Conference for the top record. And maybe down the road, when you look at tiebreakers, you want to beat them head-to-head. And the Cavaliers are now 1-0 against the Chicago Bulls and 1-1 on the season. Next up for the Cavaliers, Tuesday night, another tough road test as they play at Portland at 10 o'clock. Saturday, the Buckeyes did what they were supposed to do. 55-14, they whooped up on Illinois to get ready for Michigan State. I really don't want to spend too much time on this game because they, like I said, they did what they had to do. Was curious to see how JT Barrett would play with the knee brace and everything. He missed some open receivers. The score should have been worse, if you can believe it, than 55-14, but he played not bad. I think he's still a little bit concerned about the knee and stepping into his throws and how much he will run versus just throw the ball away or take the sack. But they did what they had to do, and it wasn't a trap game. They didn't overlook him. They blew him out, and now they have the game of the year for the Ohio State Buckeyes. This is it. This is the game that will define their season. They win this game, then they get to go play for the Big Ten Championship, in my opinion. I don't think they will stumble if they're able to go into East Lansing and knock off Michigan State. They win this game. I think they'll run the table and get to the Big Ten Championship and maybe put themselves in position to be one of the four teams in that college football playoff. However, it's going to be a tough task on the road at night against the Spartans, who for whatever reason seem to have the Buckeyes' number as of late. So we'll see if the Buckeyes can rise to the challenge this Saturday night, 8 o'clock, nationally televised game against Michigan State. They lose this game, forget about the Big Ten championship game, forget about any chance of playing in the playoff, and look at one of those also-ran bowls. They win this game, then it sets them up very well for the rest of the season. The Browns are set up pretty well as they get ready to play the Bengals on Thursday night after their 22-17 win over Tampa Bay. Once again, it was not pretty. At times, it was downright ugly. As Brian Hoyer, you look at him at times, he can't make the throws. He's throwing behind guys. He doesn't have the arm strength. And then at other times, he just makes plays and finds a way to win. 11 starts over 2 years now for the Browns, and Brian Hoyer is 8-3 in those 11 starts. The Browns are 5-3 after beating Tampa Bay, and it sets up that huge nationally televised matchup on Thursday night in Cincinnati against the Bengals. Let's be honest, first 8 games, the schedule has been very favorable for the Cleveland Browns. Now, starting with Thursday night's game at Cincinnati, we're going to find out a little bit more about this team and whether or not it's fool's gold because of the easy schedule, or if they are a legitimate contender in the AFC North and maybe for a wild card spot in the AFC. On Sunday, what was the difference? For me, it was special teams. Bottom line, Chris Tabor's special teams won this game, in my opinion. They blocked a field goal early on. They had a huge block punt late in the game. It was Billy Wynn with the leapfrog block field goal early, and then Craig Robertson with the block punt that set up the game-winning touchdown drive at 9:42 of the fourth quarter. Also, Tampa Bay special teams missed a field goal. They jumped off sides on a Browns field goal attempt. So Chris Tabor saw something on film where they were able to block a field goal and a punt in this game, and that was the momentum changer, that blocked punt, along with Mike Lennon just stinking the joint out. Yeah, he had a lot of yards and threw for two touchdowns, but he missed wide-open receivers all day long for big plays and potential touchdowns, but he could not connect, and the Browns come away with the 22-17 win, and we'll see now on Thursday night if the Browns are for real. There's your Roto Report looking back at what went down this weekend, and don't forget, tune in to me every Monday through Friday on 1480 WHBC, WHBC.com, and the TuneIn Radio app. It's free. We're with you Monday through Friday, 3 to 7 p.m., talking Browns, Buckeyes, Cavs, Indians, and of course, high school football as we get ready for the playoffs starting in Stark County and throughout the state of Ohio. And as always, keep it real.